This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores with you. And Ronj, have you heard about these toll scams, these toll road scams?
Yeah, I've been sending them out to people.
I thought that was you.
I've been forwarding them.
Forwarding them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had seen the headline briefly about these toll scams, and I know our partners at Fox 2 did a story back, I guess it was last month, on toll scam warnings, because these warnings have been mounting for nearly a year. So last March, the Illinois Attorney General, Kwame Raoul, he released an alert. The FBI did it a month later. The FTC a few months later, New York, Pennsylvania, they're all issuing these warnings about toll scams. Okay, fine. I'm not going to fall for a scam. I don't think anything of it, right? A month goes by. I haven't thought about it. I drive to Colorado, as we talked about. And when you drive to Colorado, you drive through Kansas. And when you drive through Kansas, you drive through the Kansas Turnpike. And for the life of me, I never know. Okay, I think they got rid of the toll booths that you pull over on the side of the highway, pay the toll, and then keep driving. Because I know I did that years ago.
Most people just do the iPass or whatever they call it.
The Easy Pass.
Easy Pass. It's,
yeah.
Called different
things.
Well,
I don't have the Easy Pass, right? So, like, you either pay the toll, you pull off the highway, you pay a dollar, or you miss it and you pay $15, which is what happened last year. And I thought, okay, I'm an idiot, like, somehow.
Or you can go online and do it.
I don't know. All I know is I thought this year I'm not going to miss the toll booth. I'm going to pull off the highway, pay the toll. And they kept saying, last free exit. And somehow I couldn't find the toll booths. Tell me if I'm wrong, but a friend told me that they closed all those toll booths. It's all online now. Someone please tell me that's what happened, because I tried my best. I tried my best to figure out how to pay the Kansas Turnpike, like, while I was driving, and somehow I missed every exit. So maybe it is just online. But anyway, that's in the back of my head is, oh man, I got to go online and I got to pay this toll from the Kansas Turnpike. I get a text from Easy Pass. It's a weird number that I notice. It's kind of long, but I click on the text, or I open the text. I don't click on anything. I open the text and it said, hey, through the Kansas Turnpike, blah, 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 you have an outstanding toll. And I, for a split second, I'm thinking, oh, okay, I got a text because I just got back from Colorado and I drove through the Kansas Turnpike without paying for it. And then I realized, there's a 63. There's a country code in front of this.
Like a plus 63?
Mm-hmm.
One of those? Yeah.
And I'm like, I recognize this 63. It's from the Philippines. The only reason I know that's the Philippines is because I get spammy stuff from the Philippines. Another one is 44. You get that a lot. But I think it's 44. At any rate, it was a scam. But I actually just went through the Kansas Turnpike. So I told my friend, who also got back like a week later from a ski trip with their family. And that person also got the scammy toll text. So let me just tell you this. First of all, it felt so real because it was completely relevant. And it was days after I went through the Kansas Turnpike. And it was days after my friend went through the Kansas Turnpike. But it was a complete scam. And I don't know if it's totally random that I got the toll scam days after I went through the turnpike, or if somehow these scammy hackers knew that I went through the Kansas Turnpike.
I don't know. Yeah,
right?
I don't think they know you went through it. It probably is a coincidence. In the last year, for the entire year, for 2024, the FBI, which has been investigating it and has been reporting to people, telling them, warning them, do not click on anything that says, hey, you've missed a toll from Easy Pass and therefore you need to pay it. Do not go to whatever link they send you. They have gotten, and this was going back to last year, 60,000 complaints, which means they have gotten that a lot more people have been affected by it because, you know, not everybody is reporting it.
Yeah.
So you're probably talking a couple hundred thousand people who've gotten these texts. And I know we reported on it here, too, about a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Just do not click on it. Do not click on these scams.
So, and here's the thing, Ronj. So because all of a sudden, thankfully, the alert went up because it was so relevant. It was so relevant to get a text days after I blew through the Kansas Turnpike. I thought, this feels weird. The 63 country code doesn't make sense. So I went to the KansasTurnpike.com, the KSTurnpike.com. That's the Kansas Turnpike Authority. There is a banner on top of their webpage, bright orange.
Yep.
Scam alert. KTA does not send unsolicited text messages. If you receive a suspicious text about unpaid tolls, do not click the links. So like you mentioned, this is going across the country. But I just think of all the people. And again, if 314-436-7900, we love to hear from you. If you got a scammy toll text, think of all the people who do road trips for spring break.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just the scammers go, hey, it's March, it's spring break. Shoot out, you know, a bunch of these scammy texts because at least some of them will have just driven through a turnpike.
Someone's going to fall for it.
I almost fell for it. I mean, I didn't. I know I caught it in time, partly because of the Philippines country code. Wally Thomas is commenting on our YouTube page. They, meaning like when you're driving through a toll road, they take a photo of your driver's license now and will bill you. And yes, that's what I got. But the time that I waited for them to bill me, it cost more. It cost me $15, you know, versus the $1 that it costs when you go through the toll road itself, which I'm sure maybe they've changed that.
Yeah.
Lori also says on YouTube, I got a scammy text about Chicago tolls days after traveling through Chicago toll roads. Creepy.
Well, maybe it is something, and I have not seen any writing on this, but maybe it is something about your phone number checking in with a particular cell tower. I mean, who knows? Whatever it is,
I just, it's creepy though. It's really creepy.
Yeah, and the messages look legit, and they'll say you will face penalties or legal action. And I understand why that would scare people.
They didn't say what the IRS, the scammy IRS, told you.
Oh yeah, when I got the phone call, it was a voice message. I ignored the call, and then I went back and listened to the voice message, and it said that we will, if you do not pay your back taxes. It said literally, we will call the cops. Like, oh, that's the official terminology you use? The IRS is trying to collect back taxes. They say, you don't call us back, we're going to call the cops on you. Like, oh.
I love we're going to call the cops.
We need more IRS agents so they use better words. Andy in St. Louis with us on KMOX. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Well, I was just calling in. Somebody had just hit it about the Chicago toll roads because I was just out of town in Florida, driving up and down, I guess, Fort Lauderdale and Miami, seeing some Cardinals in action. And it was funny, the day after I turned in the rental car, I got a text. So my phone number was, you know, the one that was on the rental car. So it made me wonder if... I guess somebody at the agency there was coordinating some of this.
Did it mention Florida in the spammy text?
I never got into it, you know, since I knew that I shouldn't be getting anything, I just deleted.
Okay, yeah, like I didn't click on anything, but I opened the text, which I think is okay to read the text. I read the text, I didn't click on anything. Mine said the Kansas Turnpike, and we have Lori, who is a listener, who said that she got one specifically about Chicago. That's crazy that you got a Florida one. I don't know if it's a numbers game. You know what I mean? Like, is it a numbers game?
Well, of course it is.
Did they know? Did they know I was in Kansas? Like, why didn't I get the Florida one?
Thank you for the call. That's super interesting. Why it would happen? My guess would be that it's just coincidence that they send out a bunch of these. Honestly, I have not had one. I don't know why. Maybe they don't like me.
I probably don't.
Maybe the scammers don't like me. What's John in South City doing? Hello, John. Hello, John. Goodbye, John. Carol in Ladue. Oh. No, I guess.
Hello?
Yeah, John, go ahead.
Yeah, calling about the scam on the toll passes. I received it, and I just ignored it. The one that I didn't ignore, I'm sorry I did, was a State Farm Insurance roadside hazard kit. And I said, oh, yeah, that sounds good. So I gave my credit card number. Oh. And the next thing you know, I got scammed on that.
But no way. Really?
Credit card. Yeah.
Oh,
so they,
wow.
Talking to the credit union, you know, I got noticed that I had to get a new credit card. So don't ever respond to something like that either.
If you get solicited like that, even if it looks legit, and John, appreciate the phone call, do not give your credit card number, especially if you're doing it over the phone. Never do that.
Yeah, no,
unless,
no, no.
Unless you've reached out to whatever business entity, organization.
That's crazy,
on your own.
Yeah, that it was State Farm. You have to be so careful. I bought a Patagonia like backpack. I needed a good carry-on, right? Mm-hmm. And I just wanted a backpack carry-on to keep things small and whatever. And so I've been doing my research for months and months and months. I finally decide I buy this Patagonia one. Patagonia thanks, you know, sends a text. Thank you for buying this.
Yeah.
Please save our number so that you know it's us. I'm like, okay. So I hit Patagonia and I saved it in my contact list. I'm probably going to hit stop. I don't need Patagonia text, but whatever. But then a couple days later, I get one that says, okay, your Patagonia has shipped, but it wasn't from the Patagonia saved number. It was from a different type of shipping. I don't even know the name of it, but it looked legit, but it also looked spammy, but it did use the word Patagonia. And I know they send so many spammy shipping texts that I didn't click on it. I didn't click on it to track my package. I think it was probably spammy.
I don't know. That might be legit.
Let me see if I can find it.
I still wouldn't click on it anyway.
I didn't
but it's
click
probably
on
legit.
It. I know because it didn't just say you have a package. It said you have a Patagonia package. But I don't know. I'm nervous clicking on anything. I think the safest thing to do is to go to the website itself to log into your account.
Let's talk to Mike in St. Louis on KMOX. Hi, Mike.
Hey, love listening to you on 104.1.
Hey,
yes.
Thank you.
When I get these spam texts, which I've also gotten from what seemingly is FedEx and UPS mm-hmm. and USPS and a toll road recently, usually they have a URL that looks right. But with the Easy Pass one I got after traveling through Chicago last week, coincidence, I don't know, I just Googled Easy Pass and noticed their URL was not the one that was in the text. You know, it was easy-pass as opposed to easy no-pass. And that's a good way to determine if it's legit or not, if they actually have, you know, a matching website.
Yeah, always be careful with the links too, and email addresses. If you get an email from something and the address looks off, here's what I always do. If I get anything like that, and I've been getting a weird a recurring email thing, I think I may have told you guys about it, where it they're telling me that I have a past due account for a cell phone company, and they keep saying that I owe a certain amount of money and it's gone to collections and they're there to help me with it. And it's the same amount of money. It's from the same email address. I have never used that carrier ever in my life.
Interesting.
So I know I don't owe them money because I've never used it. But if you do get an email, check the email address. Certainly check the URL. See what the @ looks like. And if it looks weird, then definitely don't call the company directly. Always find the number for customer service and call directly. Let us know if you've had any issues with this. or something different, 314-436-7900. You can text. You could drop us a voice message on the Odyssey app. Just tap the leave a message button and record it and send it to us. Here on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Crazy. It's crazy because it felt so relevant. You really can't let your guard down. Always be suspicious of every text. Okay.
And I have sent this text out to a lot of people hoping for some kind of response, and I'm getting nothing.
Okay. We're going to talk with Kelly Meyer of News Nation, White House correspondent, in a few minutes about this. But it does make you realize why Jeffrey Goldberg, the executive editor at The Atlantic, he thought it was some type of scammy thread that he was on at first.
Yeah.
If I got a text and it was Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, and J.D. Vance, Vice President, and they're like, let's bomb the Houthis, I would think I'm on some kind of weird scam, delete it right away. And that was Jeffrey Goldberg's first thought was, well, maybe it is a... like, who is this guy texting me? I think it was Mike Waltz at first. At any rate, I would have had my guard up too. I wouldn't have thought it was real. I wouldn't have thought that I was getting war plans from the United States. Again, slightly different, but you do have to keep your guard up with any texts that you get.
That one's a little different. I get what it's.
I'm just saying, like, every text probably... that you get, you're like, you're suspicious. If I got a text that said J.D. Vance, I now granted I'm not Jeffrey Goldberg, but I would 100% think, well, this is spammy.
So technically, I have never used Signal before, and that's where those messages were sent through and from.
So I do use Signal.
Okay. Is it similar?
It is. So the reason why we used Signal, it's exactly like WhatsApp, only Meta doesn't have access, and Signal was initially created to be like encrypted and safer.
Right, right.
So I use Signal a lot.
Okay. And so it acts like text?
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of thing?
Yeah, the messaging. Yeah.
Because I know a lot of reporters do that. They'll put it on their bio. They'll say, yeah, hey, if you have a tip, this is my Signal and you can get to me that way.
Yeah. And also, partly, it's not like my workouts are some big secret. The reason why we're on Signal and or WhatsApp, when you have international friends and family members, you can't just use iMessage. Everyone's got different phones. They've got different programs.
Right.
So my friends, my running group, right, obviously very international, they all use WhatsApp because friends are all over. You have friends in Peru and in Switzerland and in Israel and in Argentina. And so if you're going to be talking to all those people, the easiest is using a messaging app like Signal or WhatsApp.
And that way you don't have to hear people complain about green bubbles.
Oh, the green bubbles.
Let's talk to Ron in Centralia, Illinois. Hello, Ron.
Yes, hello. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
We love you.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you that I had the same thing happen to me that happened to John, only mine wasn't State Farm. It was AAA, and I belong to AAA, and I get something from them almost every day, mm-hmm, and it really looked legit. They got all my info, just like John. So I had to change my card.
Oh, boy.
And then after I did that, I got the same deal from Casey's convenience stores.
No, did you really?
Yes.
It said Casey's?
Yes, it looks legit. I belong to Casey's Rewards also.
Wow. Oh, you get that pizza?
I clicked on the header, and that kind of helped me. It showed me it wasn't really from Casey's. But I get stuff from them all the time, too. But it was a really nice roadside kit. They wanted me to pay shipping and handling $14, and they caught me. Everybody watch out for it. They're really look legit.
Thank you for the heads up, because you're right. You get so much from AAA. I mean, I love AAA, right? But you get stuff from AAA, from State Farm, and that roadside kit seems so legit. It's so innocuous. I'm sorry that happened to you. Thank you for calling in and letting us know. I actually didn't even know the roadside kit scam was a thing, but that's two people through State Farm and through AAA had a roadside kit scam.
Yeah, and I had to use AAA yesterday again.
He's the number one and customer of AAA.
I used it, and I got a text message pretty immediately asking kind of about service and was everything okay. And I knew it was legit because I had just used it.
But
there was part of me that almost did not click on it.
Yeah.
Because I thought, uh-oh, should I not respond? And then I got an actual phone call from the company, and they said, hey, how was your thing? Was this good, and all that? And I said, yeah. So it's weird how it puts you in this mode of constantly being skeptical, suspicious of everything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I am now. Anytime I get a text message, I am suspicious of it.
Okay. This is totally different. We can talk about this later. But I have to bring it up because talking about being suspicious of things, when you type anything into ChatGPT or any type of AI or Google, remember, AI is getting stupider in a lot of ways because it is an aggregator. It's pulling all the information from the internet. Our friend of the show, I like to say, Jonah Goldberg, was taught. He was writing a paper.
Who, by the way, had a really funny night last night because people who are mad at this DOD report coming out, like people who are on the side of Pete Hegseth or whatever, flying that team flag, they are all over him for being a hack of a reporter.
Yeah.
And he's like, I am not Jeffrey Goldberg. He was,
he's Jonah
just because
Goldberg.
He's Goldberg with a J in the front, I'm not the same as that guy. So they couldn't even get the right person.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. But anyway, he said he was writing a story. He was looking for some quotes. Say it's from like Hayek or something. He wants some quotes from Hayek or Bill Buckley. And he typed it in to see what it would bring up. And he's like, I know that's not a quote. He's like, I have that book. That's not in there. And so he went back to ChatGPT and said, this is not a quote from Hayek. And ChatGPT said, thank you for you were right to double check me and be vigilant. I'm sorry. I'll make a note of that. And he did it again. And he said he went through four or five iterations where ChatGPT would present something as a quote and would either have to admit later, well, I was summarizing some things, or, oh, thank you for letting me know I was wrong. Those are quotes. Unless Jonah Goldberg wasn't the insane egghead, like he calls himself eggheadery, right? The eggheadery of politics and had those books himself. How would he know that's not a quote?
Somehow artificial intelligence like ChatGPT or the responses you get from the Google AI, somehow I trust them less than actual Google results if you just scroll down a little bit more. 100%.
100%.
And it's supposed to be better, but it's...
You know what?
I don't trust them.
That is the realest thing, is scrolling past the OpenAI results to get to just regular old Google.
Yep. I do it all the time.
Yes. That's the most real thing.
They can let me know when their stuff is working right.
Jeez.
And then maybe I'll go back and use it. As Amy said, we're going to talk to Kelly Meyer with News Nation, White House correspondent. We'll talk about the fallout from this text message thread that was sent to a reporter and should not have been. We will discuss that with her next. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Until the day that I received the attack plan from Pete Hegseth, I thought it was a hoax. I thought somebody was trying to entrap me. Again, could it have been a foreign intelligence service? Could it have been a gadfly organization that tries to entrap journalists, which we know happens? I didn't know what it was.
You're talking about a deceitful and highly discredited so-called journalist who's made a profession of peddling hoaxes time and time again, to include the hoaxes of Russia, 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 or the fine people on both sides hoax, or suckers and losers hoax. So this is the guy that peddles in garbage.
Those are the voices of Jeffrey Goldberg, reporter, editor-in-chief, actually, from The Atlantic, and then the Department of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. His response to the report last night that Goldberg received a Signal group message, and in that message were war plans, basically, which was admitted to later. They did admit to doing that. And to talk about what the fallout is and where we stand right now, we go to the guest line this morning and we visit with Kelly Meyer with the News Nation, is the White House correspondent there, and joins us on KMOX. Kelly, good to talk to you. How are you?
Good to be with you. I'm doing well, just following all of these latest developments around this wild story in Washington.
So what's the truth of about what actually happened?
You know, that's really what's up for debate right now. You're hearing Democrats really pushing back on top U.S. officials. We just heard it in this hearing happening on Capitol Hill, Democrats asking them if this information was classified, were they in this chat, and really condemning them for kind of talking about these war plans about the Houthis and attacks against the Houthis in Yemen on this Signal app. You heard the CIA director, John Ratcliffe, saying that he was in that chat, but he said that Signal was added to his CIA desktop and it was permissible and usable. But they both said, both Ratcliffe and the DNI, Tulsi Gabbard, saying that this wasn't classified information and that there were no war plans discussed. So you're really seeing, I'm here at the White House now, and you're seeing the White House really pushing back on this journalist and on the messages that there was anything about war plans or classified information contained in these messages.
Okay, well, the National Security Council confirmed what Jeffrey Goldberg received, the Atlantic report about the Signal messages. So are you saying that Tulsi Gabbard and those being questioned they're not denying that those texts through Signal were sent to Jeffrey Goldberg? They're just saying they weren't that important?
Basically, yeah. And even the National Security Council, like you said, put out this statement yesterday saying that the message thread appears to be authentic and we're launching an investigation into this. And then you heard the White House saying that the president has the utmost confidence in National Security Advisor Mike Waltz, who was the one who essentially seems to be the one that added Jeffrey Goldberg to this thread. But when you heard from Ratcliffe and Gabbard, top officials in the intelligence community today, they were saying, you know, well, Gabbard, first of all, wouldn't say or whether or not she was on that text chain. Ratcliffe did say he was on that text chain, but they both did say that there were no messages that contained classified information having to do with war plans. And now Jeffrey Goldberg was just asked on another podcast whether or not he would release the receipts and the messages that went through all of this. And he was saying that no, he wouldn't, but maybe he would in the future. He just said they are wrong in this situation.
So obviously there is a something is not connecting here. Do we know who was supposed to be on that thread? If they put him there on purpose or was it by accident? What exactly happened?
It seems as though he was inadvertently added to this text chain. It seems like that is agreed upon. Even Ratcliffe in the hearing saying that he doesn't know how he got on this chain, but he was obviously added somehow. But it seems as though they're not denying that there was a chain, that they're not denying that there were messages shared, that there was a reporter on this, but they are denying the content of what this information was, saying it wasn't classified, because there was a lot of pushback, especially from former administration officials I've been talking to from the Biden administration, saying, what if this information got into the wrong hands? Even the top Democrat on the Senate Intelligence Committee today saying, what if this got out to the Houthis and then that put American lives in danger in this important attack? So it was more of the question of, did this information, what if this got into the wrong hands and American lives were lost? So there is going to be obviously more investigations and more probing here into this question. There are calls already for the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, and the U.S. National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz, to resign. But it seems as though the president right now standing by Waltz, saying he's a good man and that they haven't had any, quote, glitches in the first 2 months of his administration.
But we do know that Jeffrey Goldberg got these texts about bombing the Houthis 2 hours before the first bombs exploded, correct? Has that been confirmed?
So even in that sense, they asked Gabbard, I believe, about this in the hearing today. And she said that there wasn't anything having to do with weapons, targets, or timing in those messages. So you're seeing the top intelligence officials and then, of course, what you heard from Hegseth last night saying that there were no war plans and discrediting the journalist, essentially. So it's now becoming a matter of he said, she said, what the journalist is saying, even though he did provide receipts and pictures of that thread. You saw the emojis that were used, the name of the group chat, Houthi PC small group, all in this article from The Atlantic.
Yeah.
But they are denying this now. They are now making it the Atlantic versus the Trump administration and discrediting this journalist.
Wait. So they're literally then, Tulsi Gabbard, the people who are denying it in the administration, So what they're doing is they're accusing Jeffrey Goldberg of making up the screenshots of the texts.
Essentially, they're saying that this wasn't true, that this didn't, that there were not, there was nothing in these messages, that there was nothing classified in those messages. I don't think they're arguing that there was a chain, but it seems to be that they are pushing back on his receipts of this, I guess.
I don't know if you or how much you have heard about this. There was an NPR report from about an hour ago that they are saying that an email went out around the Pentagon warning people there about using Signal for messages just in general because there's a security issue there. Do we know anything about that?
Yeah, so far that reporting just coming out, and it just kind of goes back to even Radcliffe saying in this hearing today that he felt as though this was permissible to use. He was said that this, again, was put on his laptop, put on his desktop computer. He thought he was okay to use this. Even though Caroline Leavitt in her statement today did say that they are undergoing kind of a review with top officials of other appropriate platforms to use, so I think there is still this debate over whether or not Signal should have been used within the administration, but that obviously pointing to a larger issue with using something like Signal. It's encrypted, but it isn't one of those recommended outlets for top administration officials to use. But again, they are pushing back on that as well, saying that they were allowed to use this. There was no issue with them using it.
Yeah. And Jeffrey Goldberg, again, in his very detailed story, says when he's talking about getting these texts, how he got one from Pete Hegseth, posted in Signal a team update. He said, quote, "I will not quote from this update or from certain other subsequent texts. The information contained in them, if they had been read by an adversary of the United States, could conceivably have been used to harm American military and intelligence personnel, particularly in the broader Middle East Central Command's area of responsibility." And then he goes on and says, here's what I'll say about the shocking recklessness of this Signal conversation. So basically, Jeffrey Goldberg is saying, I have this information, but this would be so irresponsible of me to publish it.
Right. And that's even what he just said in a podcast not too long ago, was saying that, okay, well, since they're pushing back on this, the obvious response for you is just to release all of your receipts and all of this information that you were kind of, like you said, some of the information he was holding back on sharing. And then he said, no, I won't. Maybe I will in the future. He just said, quote, they're wrong. They are wrong here. But he is not saying he's going to release any more details.
Well, this is a fun story, isn't it? Are there people who are maybe on that side of the aisle who are not, maybe not speaking publicly, but privately or on background saying, hey, you know, this is not good? Or has everybody sort of gotten behind the defense of it?
Yeah, I mean, the president definitely has the people that are standing behind him on this and then get in line. But there are people who probably have spoken out more on background or are on the other side of this, saying that this is deeply concerning and Waltz should be fired over something like this. And then you have the Republicans on Capitol Hill that are really, they didn't want to ask a lot of questions in the hearing openly about this, but they did say in the classified setting that they were planning to ask about this. And they might get into it more in the closed portion, which would be, you know, classified and not able to report, but they might ask some more questions in there. They even expressed in their initial reaction last night, you know, that they're going to get to the bottom of it and they have a concern about it.
Are we seeing, I know you mentioned some of the concern from the Democrats within Congress. Are we seeing any pushback from Republicans who are concerned about this?
So there was some initial questioning when this report came out from, I think, John Cornyn, kind of expressing, a Texas senator, expressing that he couldn't believe that something like this happened, and the Senate Majority Leader, John Thune, saying that they are, you know, pledging to get to the bottom of it, essentially. So rather than just immediately kind of coming to the president's defense, they took the objective, we're going to get to the bottom of this, what happened. So there's that sense. But I think it is kind of splitting into two camps, some people that are standing behind the president and saying, slamming this journalist and just saying that this isn't true. This is, you know, essentially what they say, fake news. And then there's the other camp that are saying, let's just investigate this and find out what really happened and make sure that our information is secure, especially when it comes to things like national security and war plans.
Quick final question. I know you brought up Signal and people using Signal and not using Signal. Is it normal for administrations, for the government, for the Department of Department of Defense to use a messaging platform like this? Have we seen this in previous administrations?
You know, it's a good question. For what I've seen, you know, we use Signal as reporters to talk to government workers, for example, who want to speak out about the layoffs and wanted to reach out to us in this encrypted way. I was talking with defense officials, but not such high-level officials. I think in this setting, in this matter, that you had people like the Vice President of the United States, the Defense Secretary, the Secretary of State, the Director of National Intelligence, the CIA Director, you had all of these people on a group chat that was titled Houthi Small Group. I think that this was a unique situation. They're trying to say that this was just kind of the beginning chat and they were taking other, you know, information, other conversations to another platform. But I think this is unlike something that we've seen before.
News Nation White House correspondent Kelly Meyer, thank you so much for visiting with us today.
Thank you.
Never text anything important.
Even I know that.
Never.
And I would definitely not name it the Let's Bomb the Houthis thread. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I mean,
it's a little
I just,
on the nose.
It's too on the nose. This is a Saturday Night Live skit. And the personal, here's what I don't like. I don't like our Secretary of Defense being super emotional and defensive. Not a great look. Listen, if something like this happens, be calm. Explain what happened. Describe what happened. You know, if you made a mistake, you made a mistake. If you believe you didn't, then explain it.
Yeah.
But to get emotional and defensive and ad hominem attacks like, well, the Atlantic and like the president, Atlantic's going out of business. It's so juvenile. It's so disheartening. It's pretty gross, to be honest. And Pete Hegseth did not conduct himself in a manner that was worthy of the position that he is in.
I don't imagine anything will come of it. I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's normal. Like times are not particularly normal, and I think in the past this would result in firings and resignations
or an FBI investigation.
Or an FBI investigation, and my guess is none of that is going to happen. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see what does happen, but it's a fascinating story nonetheless.
Scandalous!
Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Alfonso's is in Carrollton, Illinois. It's about 30 minutes north of Alton, maybe 20, on Highway 67. It's the best pizza around. They have a secret recipe for their dough, and it's family-owned, and it is absolutely fantastic pizza. This is Richard from Whitehall, Illinois.
Thank you, Richard. Now, either there's a discrepancy, or there are two different Alfonso's, and they have two different locations. But there is one in Troy, Illinois, and that's the one that I am thinking of.
Which one did he describe?
Carrollton. Carrollton is north of where Troy is.
Have you been to the one in Troy?
Yeah, I've been there a bunch.
Alfonso's Pizzeria, the first one that comes up, is Troy, Illinois.
Yeah.
Yep, on Edwardsville Road.
Yep, and then there is one in Carrollton also.
Is it the same?
I don't know.
I don't think it's the same.
I have no idea. Well,
what if there's two Alfonso's?
Well, maybe they're both together on this. But the one in Troy,
yeah.
I guess it still does. I don't know if it does, but it used to have like go-karts and stuff. It was kind of a whole place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It was cool. Anyway, let's go with Alfonso's in Troy.
Okay. So we're on the round.
Amy, real quick.
Yeah.
We had the caller from earlier who got a scam from Casey's.
Yes.
Should Casey's Pizza have been in this tournament?
Well, when you said, oh, so you get the pizza, I thought, well, Ronj, it would have been nice to know this earlier.
I know.
It's too late now. We're in the round of 32.
I know.
So,
didn't even think about it, and nobody suggested it. So, it's not just our fault. It's the listener's fault.
So, I'm going to retweet the Chris and Amy show Mott's Madness round of 32, because we need you to vote. We need you to vote on Twitter.
At Chris Amy KMOX.
And we have four regions, the sausage region, the pepperoni region, the mushroom region, and the pineapple and ham region. All the number ones are still in it. Here are the number ones: Emo's, Union Loafers, Katie's Pizza and Pasta, and Dewey's. But there are some tight races. Dewey's beat Chuck E. Cheese in the round of 64. Charles Entertainment Cheese. He did not last very long.
Well, I'm not surprised at all by that. You know,
because you thought it was the gorilla still.
I did. Now that I know that the gorilla isn't involved anymore, I don't care what happens to Chuck E. Cheese.
It's just a bunch of rats.
To me, it doesn't matter. I mean, who are they even?
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's fair.
But you have to go to at Chris Amy KMOX and vote. Follow us on Twitter there. I have retweeted it. Amy has retweeted it. It's out there. Yeah. So vote in our Mott's Madness tournament.
We talked about, are you a slob kebab, about how nice your house or apartment needs to be. Not how nice. How clean it is, and I don't just mean stuff, but when someone comes over, what do guests notice? Because they're seeing your apartment or home for either the first time or rarely, right? So if they're sitting on your toilet, for instance, they're looking at the immediate vicinity. They're going to notice if you've got gunk in your toothbrush holder.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to notice if there's eyebrows between the faucet and the wall, which is disgusting.
Yeah.
A lot of people commenting about dust on top of the toilet, like the toilet tank, not the toilet seat, but
the upper deck part.
The upper deck and the wet hand towels. The wet hand towels are gross. I've wiped my hands off with Kleenexes, toilet paper, because of the wet hand towels. Do you remember in public bathrooms when they had the wet rotating hand towel that was just like a circle? How was that sanitary?
It wasn't rotating. It was they change them out. No. My understanding of those things is the used part goes into a separate roll, and then there's fresh that's constantly coming out. It's not like squeegeed. You know what I mean? They're not squeegeeing the water out and recycling that's not what happens.
It feels like it. I know it's damp.
No, it isn't.
It's damp.
No.
I wouldn't use it. I
haven't seen one of those in, I don't even know the last
time. When I'm in a public bathroom, I dispose of the first square of the toilet paper that's hanging down.
Yeah, and yet you want to use it to dry your hands?
Well, because you don't use the first square.
Well, you're still touching it.
We have a voice message?
Oh, no, I was just like,
oh, sorry.
Try to give Ronja a high five in the air for that burn.
Burn. Whatever, you're 20.
But you'll use the first square of toilet paper to dry your hands?
No, don't use the first square. I would never touch a wet cloth. Here's a guy, someone posted, I'm a house cleaner, so my job is to look for messes and stuff. People forget to clean ceiling fans, vents, blinds, tops of shower edges, the shower rod, baseboards, light switches. Baseboards is a big one. That takes a long time.
Yeah, who the hell's getting down there?
My sister is hilarious. She would dust like the cereal boxes. We always joked like,
what in the world?
You could have dishes in the sink or toys on the floor, but when company, you know, back in the day when company came over, back in the good old days, my mom would say, company's coming over. And my sister would start dusting the most random things like the cereal boxes or like the tops of the door frames. And we're like, what are you doing? Like, that's the least important thing. You got to learn how to prioritize.
Do the important stuff first.
Make your bed before you dust top of a ceiling fan.
She needs to go through the 7 habits of highly effective people and do the big rocks first. Anybody who's taken it knows what I mean. I am afraid, Amy. Mm-hmm. I'm getting nervous. We'll see how Alfonso's does in our Mott's Madness tournament. But I'm starting to get nervous that we're going to have an Alfonso's controversy.
Oh my gosh! Because, a sandwich scandal.
Yeah, we could have another. We could have an Alfonso scandal.
Because people don't know
they're two different Alfonzos, and they are not related.
Well, why?
There's one in Carrollton, and there's one in Troy, Illinois.
Why can't we just count them as one Alfonso's?
Because they're not the same.
But
it's not like an Emo's, but different locations.
Nobody knows that. It's like art. It means whatever you want it to mean.
Oh my God, we are going to be in so much trouble. I am nervous. Oh gosh. Alfonso's is like a 15 seed, too, and they could win. This is bad. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Another scandal on our tournament. Go vote in the Mott's Madness tournament at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. We're going to be back with you at 9 o'clock tomorrow, Amy and me. I'm going to stick around, though, because the Gas House Gang, we're going to talk some Cardinals baseball and more coming up here. We're doing it every Monday through Friday from 12 until 1 here on KMOX.